Before I get into my talk this evening, I think I bit off more than I could chew this week. In anticipation of this meeting this weekend, we invited a few people over to stay with us while for a few days before. And that created a house full. Tried to keep some business going at the same time and tried to get this all arranged. And like to help my son keep his work going. And yesterday his truck broke, and I had to spend several hours gathering up stuff to take to him because this time he was stranded. He couldn't run the truck. But we got it done. By the way, if it had happened any other day this week but yesterday, I couldn't have helped him. No, just amazing. And we got here this evening, this afternoon, to try to make this thing work. For those who are listening in, we're in a building. It's in the room in this building's about 18 to 20 feet wide. Dave Johnson, well, you think that's about right? 18 wide, about 50 long? Dave builds buildings, and he got sizes in his mind pretty good. He would know how long it was. Looks like there's about 30 people here. This is called the Youth Building at the Colusa County Fairgrounds. We like to deal with the Colusa County Fairgrounds because they make it open to religious groups or gun shows or hobbyists or football games or anything. You don't have to worry about any religious persecution or conflicts with them. We tried to rent a church and they don't like it. Why, you're going to do it on Saturday? You don't know what you're doing. No, we can't deal with fanatics in our church. I've had that happen. So this is a good situation. So we got here this evening. Now, to make this work on the internet, I have to have phone service here. Did you think about that? Cell phone doesn't work. They aren't high speed enough for us to do this. So I called my phone company, SBC, and tried to arrange to have them install what they call what is it, an exhibition phone line, you know, just for a few days while you have your exhibition, you can have a phone line in. And the cost was going to be almost $200 plus usage. And so I called the fairgrounds and said, well, we don't deal with SBC. It's Frontier Telephone Network that deals with us. So I called Frontier. Oh, yeah, we can do it just fine. Not only that, we'll provide you with internet access. And the whole cost was $104. So we lined it up. The schedule was to have the phone line installed yesterday. And they'll disconnect it Monday. I'm all done. And we're using frontiernet.net. So right now I have an email address, jsnipes@frontiernet.net. But I haven't even read the mail there, and I'll have it discontinued Monday. But that's what I had to do to get this to work. So we got here. I was planning to get here around noon, so I'd have plenty of time to take care of everything, but 300% more people in our house, and things just didn't go that smooth. We got here 2:40, something like that, and unloaded all the stuff and brought the computer in and hooked it up, and not a single phone jack in this room worked. And there's 2, 4, 6, 8. There's at least 12 phone jacks. And so when you don't have a phone jack, you can't even call out. So I used my cell phone, and I called Frontier, and they put me on hold, and on hold, and on hold, and on hold. And pretty soon I'm looking at my cell phone, and the battery's going down. And I'm still on hold. So I went over to the car, and I plugged it into the car charger without losing the connection. And pretty soon I got somebody, oh, well, we're just the business office. We're going to have to connect you to repair service. And I waited and I waited. And I, finally, I got, last night, I tried to hook up Frontier from my house in Willits, and it would not connect. And I called for their internet technical help. You know where their technical help is? Canada. And he called the Colusa local service number from Canada, and he got right through. And I from Willits could not get through. So I didn't know what was going to happen when I got here. So the first hassle was trying to get a phone line to the room. Finally, I talked to the, yesterday when the technician was installing the line, he called me at my house in Willits and said, I'm installing the line, and is it in the office? And I said, the office? No, it's in the youth building. That's two buildings away from the office. Oh, okay. I didn't hear any more from him. I figured if he had trouble, he'd call me. But it wasn't too long after that, and I had to go help William with his truck, and then he couldn't get me on that line. So, anyway, I didn't know what had happened. I got here, and they didn't work. Called the technician. Finally, I talked to the guy who actually did the installation. And he says, well, the phone service box outside the room. He says, I got the line hot there, and it's got your number on it. I don't know, 2583 or something is my number here. And I said, but I can't find the box. He says, well, it's around the corner just inside the fence here. It's up on the wall. It looks like an electrical panel. So I got there with my screwdriver and I look at it. There's the phone line right to the number and no wires attached to it. Now, what that means is on the phone service side, they wire it to their point. But then from there, you have to hook the wires up. And I look at the wires that go into this building and there's a big bundle of wires. Now, there's an office back here, and they got a couple of phones in it. I can see those two wires hooked in. But this is a big bundle of wires. Now, remember, there's 12, 14 jacks in this room. Which one goes to where? And I said, Lord, what do I do? I haven't got enough time to try them all out. So I went to where we had the computer set up, and I took this plate off of there, and there were wires in there that weren't the same color as the wires in the box. One pair was the same color, blue. Okay? I'm going to try blue. It worked. The first one worked. By the way, we got connected to the internet, and we haven't shut it off since. So, I feel like things have just been going like crazy, fast. We've been here, Colusa, at least three times, I think. There's been a guy by the name of John Hicks who lives in Colusa who has provided us with PA equipment. You know, center, speakers, mic. I bought a lapel mic. I didn't put it on this evening. I probably should have because I'm going to walk right over on the board. Rob, get the lapel mic from Josh there and bring it up here. Has it still got the battery in it that we put in earlier? And we tried this out earlier today and it worked. I'm going to put it on. Okay. That I bought and I had, and we could use with his PA system. It worked fine. This time I called John Hicks, and the phone has been disconnected. And I had his email address. I emailed him, and it came back, no such number, no such address. So that's what happens. If you discontinue your real email address, there's no forwarding address. There's nothing. There's nothing. And, you know, I waited two or three days on each one of these issues, and he didn't show up. So I called the office at Colusa, and I said, what happened to John Hicks? Oh, he moved out of state. Well, is there anybody else that I can rent a PA system from? No. We have one, though. We'll rent it to you for $450. I said, $450? Well, you know, I looked back to see how much I'd paid John for the three times I used it. And I looked on the internet, and what you see here is less than what I paid him to use three times, and now I own it. So we've got the PA system. But, I mean, this is all the hassles that we've been going through just to make the meeting for this weekend. Of course, we can be able to use this beyond. I want to get stands for the speakers so they're up high so it works better. I didn't get that. The company that provided me with the cables was another company. The company that provided me with the mic stand was the third company. But it all came in time. One thing didn't come in time. But I didn't need it. I found a portable podium that folds flat. It's on its way. We can use it next time. Pardon? On eBay, yeah. But I knew they had this, so I wasn't so worried about that. Folks, it just all came together. It's just amazing. You know, it'd be kind of nice if I could just put it together and didn't have to get up and speak, too. Or maybe if I could just get up in front and speak and didn't have to put it all together. That's what the Lord has given me to do. Let me get this thing working for you. Hold a minute. It's on now, isn't it? Okay. You can shut this one off. Josh is learning how to use that equipment. Bear with us. As an introduction to our series of meetings, look at your bulletin, those of you who have picked one of them, or program. There's a program on the internet that they can look at, see. I got a little bit loose with the way I announce things in the bulletin. This evening, the talk is How to Live a Sanctified Life, and it should have been the talk on How to Live a Sanctified Life, Part 1. And the Sabbath morning will be part 2 and part 3 of the same How to Live a Sanctified Life. I just didn't get it quite sharp enough on the bulletin, but that's what I mean. Please notice there's an asterisk at the end of my name. In the morning, there's an asterisk at the end of Gary's name and Bob Sessler's. Look at the back of the bulletin, and that's what that asterisk means. The person who gives the talk is going to close with prayer while we're still on our knees. We need Elaine to get up at the keyboard quietly. We'd like to sing the chorus, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. He's our focus. He's the center. He's what makes it all possible. How to Live the Sanctified Life, Part 1. Don't know really what Gary and Bob are going to talk about. I kind of like it that way. Because I expect them to tell me or tell us what they've found is a success. That's what I'm going to do this evening. But first, let's talk about sanctification. Ooh, that's a 50-cent word. Have you ever noticed that when somebody wants to impress you, and press you with his knowledge, he starts using words longer than 6 or 7 letters. And if they've got 14 or 16 letters in the word, remember the mechanic said, the rotational compensator is wrong. It's got the problem. And he says, I don't even know what a rotational compensator is. But that's why it won't pass a smog test. Rotational compensator? I never heard of it either. Impression with knowledge. The bigger the words, the better. But it seems to be in our society, with TV, that the shorter the words, the better. In fact, there are some words on the TV that I don't even want to watch anymore. They use almost nothing but 4-letter words. You ever go to the store and try to buy food and read the ingredients? We found that if we couldn't pronounce it, we probably shouldn't buy it. What about a doctor?
You know that most of the education of a doctor is to learn the long words. You go to the doctor for a stomach ache, and I mean for a cold, and he says you've got influenza. You go for a stomach ache, and he says you've got appendicitis. I mean, a foot doctor is a podiatrist. Heart doctor is a cardiologist. A bone doctor is an orthopedist. But all theology. Don't we sometimes get stuck with big words? Let's look at the word sanctify. That's a big word, but it means something really simple. Now, if it's simple, what word or words could we use in its place? And by the way, the use of the study of the scriptures, and this is why, is not complete unless you also use a dictionary. You know that? Because sometimes it clarifies what's being said. We may have misconceptions of what the word means. So, if you look up sanctified, by the way, for those on the internet, I wrote sanctified on the board up here. The talk I'm going to give tomorrow afternoon, I've got several diagrams I'm writing on the board, but I've already prepared them and they will get to see them on the internet like I'm writing them on the board. One of these days we'll have one of those boards up here that shows on the screen. But, you know, at $8,000 to $9,000 a pop right now, that's just a lot of our budget. The word sanctified doesn't appear in my dictionary. Why? Because of the ED on it. That makes it a past tense. But the word sanctify, which is what it comes from, is in the dictionary. And it has several phrases underneath it. Here's a phrase that's got nothing bigger than a four-letter word in it. To make holy. Sanctify, to make holy. Another phrase, this is all under the definition of sanctify, to make free from sin, to purify. Also, and I think these, all the rest of them are of lesser importance, to set apart as holy, to consecrate, to make a person holy. Now this is I found this, to be in a secular dictionary, to be a very profound statement. Listen to it. To make productive of spiritual blessing. Isn't that an interesting statement? Productive of spiritual blessing. Two words we get under here that are really important, sin and holy. And you notice that neither one of them are longer than four letters. So we're gonna take this long word. We're gonna make short, easy to understand words. Under the word holy, I found these comments in the dictionary. Dedicated to religious use. Belonging to or coming from God. Consecrated. Sacred, spiritually perfect or pure, untainted by evil or sin. Oops, that word keeps coming up, doesn't it? The word sin keeps coming up as we look at these terms that we want to talk about. Under holy, there's also the word sinless. saintly deserving reverence or worship associated with Jesus and his life. That's holy. Okay? Then, other use of the word holy, which probably really doesn't fit, but it's in the dictionary. I just thought I'd put it in. Very much of a, or a generalized intensive, as a holy terror. Okay? It's intensive usage of the word holy, but that isn't what we're after in spiritual terms. The sanctified life, then, is the holy life. The sinless life, right? Sinless life. A life without sin. A life of, well, oh, I'm sorry, I skipped this section. I looked up sin. What does the dictionary say about sin? Now, you don't know what the Bible says. Sin is a transgression. Oops, it's illegal. Transgression is a big word, you can't use it. So sin is breaking the law. Well, let's look, see what the dictionary says. You're right. The breaking of religious law or a moral principle. And then listen to this. Especially through a willful act. A willful act. Parents, have you ever told your children, now, don't do that? They go right out and do it. Willfully disobey. A willful act. Putting this all together, we see that to live a sanctified life is to live a life without sin, a life of perfect obedience. Before Lucifer sinned, all the angels in heaven, Lucifer himself, lived lives of perfect obedience. Right? Sin wasn't there. There was no trans. In fact, there was so peaceful and calm and that they didn't even know they had a law they were living under. It came as a surprise to them that there was a law. But does that mean it didn't exist? Everybody always drives on the right side of the road, always stops at the stop sign, and always, you know. It'd be nice if that would happen, wouldn't it? Nobody ever cuts you off. I'm going to read from Steps to Christ, page 62. The condition of eternal life is now just what it always has been. Just what it was in paradise before the fall of our first parents. Perfect obedience to the law of God. Perfect righteousness. If eternal life were granted on any condition short of this, then the happiness of the whole universe would be imperiled. The way would be open for sin, with all its train of woe and misery, to be immortalized. Now, we don't earn our salvation by being obedient. In fact, on page 61, she says in Steps to Christ, we do not earn salvation by our obedience, for salvation is the free gift of God. It's to be received by faith, but this obedience is the fruit of faith. Now, we're in a different condition than the angels were before Lucifer sinned. We're in a lost condition. They were in a saved condition, right? They were perfect obeying creatures of God. We're in a condition of sin in which we all have sinned and come short of his glory. And in spite of that condition, God can save us. So the fact that we are not perfect or have not been perfect, we cannot change by now being perfect. Right? We have sinned at one point, but the rest of our lives are perfect. We're still condemned by that sin. But Christ can save us, in spite of that sin, under the right conditions. And we can then live perfect lives. Pardon? Yes. Come here at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I've entitled the talk, Tomorrow Afternoon, Righteousness by Faith. Some of you have seen the talk that I'm going to give. I don't think half of you have, but maybe a third of you have. The last time I gave that talk was just before communion service, and the people were so blessed that I decided to do it again tomorrow. And I called it this time Righteousness by Faith. Other times I've called it the Gospel. How you can be saved, how this works. Tonight, we're talking about the process of sanctification. Once you are on the right track, how do you stay on the right track? How do you grow? So that's what sanctification is. It's a growth. It's getting to this point of obeying all the time. I'm still growing, but I'm striving for that point. Tomorrow 3 o'clock. Pardon?
Tomorrow is how to get on the track. How to get on the track.
How to get on the track, yes. Okay, how to get on the track. But obedience is a fruit of faith. Ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. I'm reading, continuing to read from Steps to Christ, page 61. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. 1 John 3, 5 and 6. Here is the true test. If we abide in Christ, if the love of God dwells in us, our feelings, our thoughts, our purposes, our actions will be in harmony with the will of God as expressed in the precepts of his holy law. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. 1 John 3, 7. Righteousness is defined by the standard of God's holy law as expressed in the 10 precepts given on Sinai. There we go, righteousness. All these big words. Righteousness just means right doing, isn't it? When I was a youngster, I was baptized. I was 12. I decided that, I wanted to be baptized because I really truly wanted to be on the Lord's side. I had at this point kind of categorized people, those who were trying to follow the Lord and those who didn't care. And I decided I wanted to be on those who appeared to me were trying to follow the Lord. At 12 years of age, might be a little early for some to be baptized. It may have been for me. I also knew that at some point I would probably be drafted into the army and then I would really be tested for my faith. I figured that would be a bigger test probably than going to an Adventist school, which I did. After I served in the Army and went another couple of years of college, I got married, children came along. Betty Jean and I realized that we were becoming kind of lukewarm. The trials and activities of the daily lives and work and keeping bread on the table and keeping the kids out of trouble and keeping clothes on our backs and trying to figure out how to educate them and trying to deal with a school system which we felt wasn't educating them. These had taken up so much of our time that we realized that we were losing our connection with the Lord. So we made an effort to build that connection. Now, it wasn't an effort to be righteous, and it wasn't an effort to keep from sinning. It was an effort to build a connection with the Lord. And one of the prayers that I prayed, and I challenge you to do it, was, Lord, there's something that looks really bad that I'm doing. Let me know so I can fix it. And I prayed this several times. And well, the Lord showed me something that I was doing that was really not a good example. And I said, okay, Lord, you've showed it to me now. Help me to overcome it. It had to do with eating candy bars between meals. See, cookies and stuff like that. My favorite, I shouldn't say that. I will. M&M's chocolate-covered peanuts. That was my favorite. The next favorite was chocolate chip cookies. Now, I had worked myself into a position in which I did not have to go to work every day. I had worked out of the house. Well, at home, we didn't have those things, so they weren't a temptation. But once in a while, I would have to go to visit a client and do the shopping for the family, grocery shopping. So when I did the grocery shopping, I would, what did you just do? He took some money out of the bag to pay himself. My payment was M&M's chocolate-covered peanuts. We put the chocolate on it so they don't taste any stale. Sometimes when I have to go visit a client, I'd get sleepy driving, and I have to drive for a half an hour or an hour. So I'd stop and buy some chocolate chip cookies and eat those while I go. Throw the bag away so there wasn't any evidence. So I said, Lord, you showed me that this isn't really what I ought to be doing. Like my children, they're better at this than I am. Somebody offers them a snack between meals, they won't take it. And here, look at what I'm doing. So I said, okay, Lord, this is the problem you showed me. And I said, you're going to have to help me overcome. And the next time I thought about it was while I was eating the chocolate chip cookies. Now I said, wait a minute, Lord, you're supposed to help me not to do this, and I didn't even think about it till I was eating them. Well, no sense going away to finish them. And you pray, Lord, help me to overcome this, and nothing happens. Lord, you're not answering my prayer. It's not getting overcome. And the same thing happened the next time. Found myself eating them before I realized that, you see, you're tempted from without. This thing's working awful, isn't it? You're tempted from temptations that come to you in a visual impact that Satan brings to you. And you're tempted from your habits that you've developed from within. And this had been a habit so long that it was a temptation without even recognizing it as a temptation. I don't remember, it was the third or fourth time this happened, I threw the rest of the cookies away. I said, I'm not going to do it anymore. Now, the first step was willful continuing as soon as you recognize it. Didn't that say we said something about willful disobedience? Okay? To continue to eat those cookies until they were gone was willful disobedience. But when I took the step to throw them away, as soon as I recognized it, I had a change. And you know what happened the next time? I remembered what I was doing when I was reaching the rack to take it off the rack. The Lord was getting fruit to me. And so what did I do? I took it off the rack and bought them and ate them anyway. the Lord has found me a hard nut to crack. And then I pray, Lord, forgive me for doing that. I didn't do that, but while I was there, I did it. You know, some of this stuff is like a person overcoming drink and tobacco. I think it was the same kind of thing. And maybe that's not as hard to overcome because you can quit drinking. You can quit smoking. But you can't quit eating. You still have to eat. But you have to train your hunger to be when it occurs. The day I went to reach for the candy bar, the M&M's chocolate-covered peanuts, and the Lord told me, you're doing what you don't want to do, and my hand stopped before I touched the package. That was an amazing thing. Power. I could stop it. I didn't buy it. But you know, later I fell again. Because you have to keep up. Remember I told you about four-letter words? Only the four-letter words, the vulgarities. I knew that I would meet a lot of vulgarities in the army. So I vowed, Lord, okay, I'm going to keep my speech pure while I'm in the army. And I was in the army for 19 months and 3 days. That 19 months and 3 days, I was in Vietnam, 13 months, 10 days, and 17 hours. And all during that time, I don't think I used the four-letter word once. May have done once, but I made it an effort not to lose it, to control. And I asked the Lord to help. And He did. I know He did. I got out of the army and I said, boy, now I can relax. You know what I found out? Don't ever relax. For the next 2 weeks, I was the worst cusser you ever heard. I couldn't believe what I was doing. And I realized that I had to keep up that same striving, whether I was in the army or not. The words are there. People use them all the time. Josh. Was it Josh? Yeah. That truck driver that came through while we were there, carousel today. Fully 40% of the words he used were four-letter words. I reached for the cookies and the M&M's. And the Lord says, no, not do that anymore. And when my hand stopped, I realized it was power beyond my own that was stopping that. Now, it has to be continuous, on and on and on, just like my problem with four-letter words when I was in the army. Okay? As soon as I got out of the army, I couldn't stop. Keeping those words from being spoken. I couldn't stop that. I had to keep working against that. But the Lord has given me such a victory over this eating between meals and sweets and things that I can go out and pick cherries off of a cherry tree and not eat any of them. Can you believe that? I can do it. I can do it. But not for because of my own. Listen, when I was growing up, there was food all over the place, all the time. You ate as you went through the kitchen. Any time of the day you were hungry, got home from school, I had something to eat. And then we had supper later. Fortunately, I have a high rate of metabolism, and it never really showed in fat for me. But there are certain steps that you'll see that'll happen. And the key to it is persistence. The Lord will continue to forgive if you continue to ask. He will provide the strength, the power to do His will, the power to obey. You keep asking Him. And just because it doesn't work the first time doesn't mean He isn't answering your prayer. Just because it doesn't work the first five times doesn't mean He's not answering your prayer. It's there. Now, it sounds like we're striving here to be perfect, to be saved, and that's not the case. We're striving here to be perfect for more than the reasons to be saved. We're doing it to, I'm going to use a big word here, glorify God. Did you know that our obedience glorifies Him? I read that the other day. I should have written down where I found that so I can share it with you. And that's what the 144,000 do. They glorify God. Why? Because they have learned to obey Him. Notice I said learned to obey Him. They weren't perfect before. But they have reached a level of obedience so where God can trust them through the time of trouble when there isn't a mediator. What do you need a mediator for? We'll discuss that tomorrow afternoon. What your mediator does. It's also called an advocate or lawyer. When you're charged with a crime, your lawyer helps you. Right? It's really nice when your lawyer is your judge too. That's really nice. It works very well. How to live the sanctified life. I found that Mrs. White supports this in the statement on page 50 of Steps to Christ, where she says, from the simple Bible account of how Jesus healed the sick, we may learn something of how to believe in Him, not only for the forgiveness of sins, which is all she states here, but in the power to overcome. So let us turn to the story of the paralytic at Bethesda. The poor sufferer was helpless. He had not used his limbs for 38 years. And by the way, somebody was thinking, how old was Jesus at this time? Somewhere between 30 and 33, right? This guy had been helpless longer than Jesus was old. Okay? He had not used his limbs for 38 years. Yet Jesus bade him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. The sick man might have said, Lord, if thou wilt make me whole, I will obey thy word. But no, he believed Christ's word. He believed that he was made whole, and he made the effort at once. He willed to walk, and he did walk. I made the effort to stop, and the Lord gave me the power to stop. And the Lord can give you the same power. And you may fall again. Go back, ask forgiveness, and ask for the power. You know, I mean, like the first time, I found I'd already sinned before I knew there was a temptation. I said, Lord, how can I do this? I'm all done. And then I realized, oh, I wasn't going to do this anymore. So you say, well, Lord, you did not answer my prayer. And that's exactly what I did. I said, Lord, you didn't answer my prayer. You're not giving me the victory over this. You know what the Lord has to do? He has to wait until He's sure that you really mean it, too. There are other things in my life that have come along that I'm working on. Some I haven't got the victory on yet. Let me share you with one that I'm working on right now with you. When did the Sabbath start? 5:15? And when does it end? About 5:15? Somewhere 5 and 5:15. Tomorrow night. Now, how do you keep the Sabbath? Do you go to work and wire up houses? No. You didn't wire up houses anyway. You wire up industrial, schools and stuff like that. But you don't do that on the Sabbath.
No.
Because that's keeping the Sabbath is not working on your regular job.
No.
Now, those who prepare food every day during the week usually prepare food on Sabbath too, but they try to minimize the work. Sandwiches, prepare the stuff ahead of time as much as possible. But those of us who go to work for somebody, you didn't drive your truck on Sabbath, did you? Did any of you build houses on Sabbath? No. You know what my job is? My job is computer programming. My sister says, well, you can just do that any time. And I said, no, you can't just do it any time. You see, computer programming is creative work. And sometimes you just cannot create anything. Other times you can. And where do you create these things? You think about them. You know, I wake up in the middle of the night with answers to problems that I had the day before or the week before without even working on it. Anybody who really gets involved in programming does this. I talked to a girl who was a C programmer for Microsoft. And she was now keying in data for payroll. And I said, well, isn't that really a letdown? She says, look it. I don't wake up in the middle of the night thinking about the payrolls I'm keying in, but I did when I was programming. And I can't handle that. Dave builds houses, but you know what Mrs. White says? If you think about building the house on Sabbath, it's the same as if you do it. If you're planning on that, what you're going to be doing, that's regular work, and you're planning that on Sabbath, that's the same as doing it. So we're trying to keep the Sabbath holy by not working, and we're thinking about the school we've got to wire and all the big heavy wires I've got to do, and that's just the same as if we were doing it, isn't it? So that would mean, should we go out and do it on Sabbath? No, we got to work on our brains and keep them off on the right subject. And you know, there are several ways to do that. Here's what I try to do. I didn't bring my melodica this weekend, but I sometimes play that so that I'm thinking about the music, to try to memorize the music, to block the thoughts that are of the secular nature. And I'm gaining some success at it. This is the key. We're aiming for a sanctified life without sin. And we can get there. I'm convinced we can get there. 144,000 have to be there. What more can I say? What more can I share with you? The Lord has given me victories in my life that I did not think were possible. I can see where more are coming. And I can see they're coming for you too. And the only way you'll lose out is if you neglect the communication with Him on a daily basis. Yes, there's struggles. Yes, there are times when you really get frustrated. Why isn't this working? Why isn't it working? And there are times when so much is happening, you're ready to scream. Like this morning. I want to leave at 9 o'clock. Hey, we didn't get those truck tags. Well, we mailed them to you. Could you fax them to me? Right in the middle of everything, I have to go find them. And they don't fax if they're on the pink paper. You got to make them copies of them so they're on white paper. And so they fax. And then because the phone lines are a little bit wet, the fax machine doesn't work. Oh, well, you can mail them to me. So you put them in an envelope, put their address on them, put a stamp on them. We ain't even going to town. Yeah, I'll take them. Then after he's left for about 40 minutes or so, they call you. I found them. They came in the mail. Hey, William, don't mail them. Save the stamps. How can you do that to me? I just stuck them in the mailbox. You know, I mean, that's just one thing that happened this morning. On and on and on. How do you keep your cool? I was ready to scream. How do you keep your voice even? How do you not show frustration? I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling daily with that. I shouldn't say daily because some days there aren't much frustrations, but other days there are. But I found in the success the Lord has given me in certain areas of my life that I don't give up. Don't give up. You see, as soon as Satan sees you striving to obey God, he's going to work harder on you. As soon as God sees you pass the test, he's going to say, Satan, lay off. And Satan has to. Shall I go down for prayer? Our most kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus who came and died for us that we might have eternal life. He paid the penalty that we deserve so we might have the life that he deserves. But not only that, Lord, he gives us the power to obey. Sometimes it isn't easy. Sometimes we have to really struggle. But the power is there. And if we will to do it, as this lame man by the pool of Bethesda, as soon as we make the effort, you provide the power. Help us, Lord, to remember that. And help us, Lord, to keep this Sabbath day holy, to keep our thoughts and conversations pure. And then, Lord, God of heaven, send Jesus back to this earth, real soon, to take us home. And we can ever be in his presence. And we pray this in his name. Amen.